The midterms are getting closer and closer, with the 8th of November only a couple of weeks away now. And Democrats are not behaving like normal civilized people, of course. And
grass
I think
is
this
green.
I think that this is actually affecting the public attitude. And if you're skeptical about this, believe me, you will not be by the end of this. And I'm going to start with one of the most egregious things here. And this is Manhattan congressional candidate publishes a porn video to highlight his sex positive platform, which I never thought I would read.
So one of the thumbs from Spy Kids has decided to make himself look like a more appealing candidate by stripping off and boning a prostitute.
I'm not sure she's a prostitute, but
she literally gets paid to have sex for money.
Okay.
This is my thing with porn when we eventually do a contemplations on why porn is evil. Prostitution, thanks to internet porn, has become the only crime where more witnesses means it's less criminal.
It is a very strange aspect of the law, isn't it?
Yep.
But yes, he does look like the guy from Despicable Me, doesn't he?
He does look like Gruya.
Like predating on her in that thumbnail. But it carries on to say, in a grunt for attention, third party congressional candidate Mike Itkiss has released a sex tape to highlight his sex positive campaign platform.
This is why you shouldn't hire 20-year-olds as political consultants.
Yes. The 53-year-old Army cyber operations officer is bound to lose to Representative Jerry Nadler in Manhattan's 12th congressional district, but he posted the 13-minute video to a popular online porn site of him having sex with a porn performer. I'm not going to read her name to give her any publicity, as a conversation piece, he told City and State.
Honey, it's just for the campaign trail.
If I would just talk about it, it wouldn't demonstrate my commitment to the issue. And the fact I actually did it was a huge learning experience and it actually influenced items on my platform. His issues include legalizing sex work, which is an abomination of a term, isn't it? Sex work.
Yeah, ugh. Just prostitution.
And making sexual rights explicit. Do not rely on privacy and free speech rights, his campaign site reads. I don't know how one man can be so awful.
Sexual rights explicit. Well, considering the Democrats are obsessed with positive rights, is this just they're going to assign you someone to gratify you, especially if you're as ugly as he is? Isn't this the contortion of what the New York Times thought enforced monogamy went with Jordan Peterson, where he's going to give incels wives?
I think it might be. I don't know. No, I don't actually think that.
Finally,
that's
a candidate I can support.
So it says, his bio identifies himself as not married, no kids, not celibate, an atheist. Dear God. Also seems to take aim at child support payments, writing that men should not be required to support biological children without prior agreement.
Oh, I hate this social contract nonsense. The family is the only hierarchy from which you are utterly inextricable. And because it is natural and because you cannot escape it, it's entirely legitimate. So be a responsible dad. Don't be a damn deadbeat.
Itkiss said that he's not an exhibitionist. And I quote here, I'm very much an introvert. The very liberal registered Democrat said. So yes, although he is running as an independent, he is a registered Democrat. It's just that he didn't get on the Democratic ticket.
Yeah,
probably because he's making things like this. But yes, this is someone plugged into the Democrat machine.
Yeah, well, Jerry Nadler is also the kind of person that looks like he'd have to pay for sex as well. So the Democrats realised they already had their candidate ticked out on that one. Also, can I just point out, I didn't know if you were going to move on quickly, but sex tapes may be becoming a political trend on the Upper West Side. In 2021, city council candidate Zach Wiener...
Unfortunate name, isn't it?
Apt. ...leaked a BDSM sex tape in an apparent attempt to stir up drama for his mockumentary On the Run. No,
yeah,
thanks.
This is weird. What kind of trend is this where just like, yes, I'm running for office, so here's my porn film.
Well, yeah, that's the pee tape that everyone was accusing Trump of doing on the Democrat side of the aisle. Turns out to be just pure projection. At least Hunter Biden has a political career in the works, though.
That's true.
He's got all his campaign materials already compiled.
He's got enough material there to go all the way to president.
Yeah, he can be dictator for life.
So, on a completely unrelated note, how America became the most powerful country. This is a video by me and Bo, also known as History Bro, where we're talking about how America historically became the most powerful country, what factors contributed to that. I can assure you that it's not making porn films to get elected.
I don't know. Give it 100 years. We'll be talking about how smoking Parmesan cheese contributed to the rise of America's greatest god emperor, Hunter Biden.
So it's got to a point now where the Democrats are so ridiculous that their own are even turning on them. So here's Barack Hussein Obama criticizing the current state of the Democrats.
That was a horrible accent, Josh.
I was butchering it on purpose.
Okay, right. I was only pretending to be retarded.
I don't have to pretend. So, yes, he says that council culture in his own Democratic Party is basically a mistake. He says that all of us at any given moment can say things the wrong way and make mistakes. And he described them as the party of being a buzzkill, basically. And I think that that's, you know, not too far off of the truth.
Mm, yeah.
Surprising that even Obama is saying reasonable things here.
Yeah. Though, given the state of his wife, I wouldn't trust his judgment on anything. For those saying that's an ad hominem, yes.
So, also, former Democrat Tulsi Gabbard has now started campaigning to support a Trump-backed Republican candidate, which is interesting. Democrats going to the Republican Party.
Yeah, she needs to change some of her opinions, though.
Because that's true.
She's still pro-abortion. She was one of the... I forget. I think after Ilhan Omar said something about Israel, she proposed a hate crime bill and about Jewish people. And then she added in Hindus in there because I believe she is Hindu because part of her background is Indian. And it just became this massive all-encompassing bill of we stand against all hate except against white people.
Oh, great. That's what people need, isn't it? Yeah. Just a discriminatory piece of legislation. There aren't enough of those around, are there?
Yeah, but people think she's fit, so they let her get away with it.
So she said she isn't afraid to call out the elite cabal of permanent Washington and the military-industrial complex and their propagandists in the mainstream media.
I was worried she was going to go all Kanye there for a moment.
For too long, establishment leaders from both parties have sought to enrich themselves, play games and build up power while ignoring and even enabling the suffering of millions of hardworking Americans. Carrie Lake is a leader who puts people first, fighting for... border security, energy independence, public safety, and other policies that actually make life better and more affordable for the American people.
It's really interesting she's done this because I won't discuss Carrie Lake's opinions on YouTube. However, Carrie Lake has been skeptical of certain American legal
processes.
Processes, yes.
That happened in a year that was...
A few ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yes, on a completely unrelated note, Joe Biden got more black voters than Obama in Detroit. So I'm. It's interesting that Tulsi Gabbard, an actual registered Democrat, obviously she's now, well, she's not switched parties.
She's independent. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's supporting a candidate who is against the election of the candidate that she formally endorsed in 2020. Mm-hmm.
It's also interesting as well because she's quite high profile. Obviously, she ran for president, didn't she, at one point?
And so. She nearly career assassinated Kamala until the Democrat machine propped her back up.
Mm.
We did it, Joe. We ruined the country.
So I wanted to move on to John Fetterman. I'm not sure if you've heard much about this guy. But
I have. And why did you have to pause it on that bit?
So I did cover some of what he's done already, basically talking about how he had a stroke, obviously very terrible. However, he's not really very lucid when it comes to being a public speaker. Mm. He has to have technological assistance to understand auditory information as well.
Yeah, he basically has to have a speech-to-text machine now. It's like Stephen Hawking in reverse.
Yes. So yes, and because of this, he's had some ridiculous gaffes that make him sound at least a little bit more articulate than Joe Biden. So that's something. But it's not exactly a high bar, is it?
Well, I said this the other day about Liz Truss, right? You know the old dictum of Hammond's razor, never attribute in politics what to conspiracy or malice, that which can be attributed to stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
As we've gone on with presidents, they accused Reagan of having Alzheimer's while in office. Of course, he deteriorated near the end. They accused George Bush Jr. of being really stupid. Now we've had Biden, now we've got Fetterman, and also Liz Truss. We've now got the benchmark for politicians that are so incompetent, so stupid, that I'm really glad they're there, because it proves that the other ones are just in on it. Because by comparison, we know how Mr. Beanish some politicians can be. So everyone else that's actively screwing up the country, you've got no excuse. I'm just going to call you saboteurs.
Also worth mentioning here that I covered that he says he wanted to release a third of all prisoners, not non-violent drug offenders like the usual prison releasing, but just a third of all prisoners indiscriminately.
Oh, great.
So on the topic of that, actually, some increasing attention has been put forward to his actual record because, of course, he held a position. I believe he was in a position where he could help pardon people in prison. So 10 convicted first-degree murderers John Fetterman helped release from prison.
Bloody hell.
That's not a good headline to have run when you're running for the Senate, is it?
No, the country is basically turning into all of the gulags that Solzhenitsyn wrote about when he said the worst kinds of criminals, because they lived under the previous regime, were not seen as traitors, as bad as the traitors of the party. So it ended up being that the gulags were staffed by rapists, murderers, and thieves. And that's what this is turning into. Because society is responsible for your criminality, well, then you aren't at fault. The evil, sexist, racist, homophobic society is. And you can see that in like Netflix documentaries of true crime recently, where the Dennis Nielsen thing, it said, oh, because Britain was so homophobic, he could operate going around. It's like, right, thank you for implicating me before I was born in the murders of 16 young men just because you want to hit your ideological point across. No, it's his fault. And it's the 10 murderers' fault they're in prison, and they should stay there.
So let's name and shame them and describe what they actually did. The fact that Fetterman voted to release them.
Yep.
So in 2019, Fetterman voted to release Freddie Butler, Charlie Goldbloom, and Raymond Johnson, who were all granted clemency by the governor. Butler was accused of stabbing and beating a 72-year-old man to death in the street and was sentenced to life in prison in 1970. Goldbloom was convicted of stabbing a man to death in a Pittsburgh parking garage in 1977. Johnson was sentenced to life in prison after he was convicted of first-degree murder in 1973, shooting and fatally stabbing a Pittsburgh man.
Right, so there's no wiggle room in there whatsoever.
Yes, and last year he cast the lone vote in a failed bid to free Alexis Rodriguez, who is serving a life sentence in Dallas after he was one of five suspects convicted for beating a police officer's 17-year-old son with a baseball bat before fatally shooting him in 1989.
God, come on.
He also cast the lone vote last year in a failed bid to commute the sentence of John David Brookins, who was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison for the 1990 killing of his girlfriend's mother, who was found with a pair of large scissors lodged in her chest.
So the murder from the opening of the original Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And you let him out. The major problem as well the Republicans have, and there was a black Pennsylvanian woman that was on Tim's show recently, and she was the candidate running against Dr. Oz in the Republican primary, and she knows everything about ESGs, about BlackRock, about ExxonMobil having its board taken over by activists. She is so brilliantly smart, but they chose Dr. Oz instead. The Republican machine and Trump as well endorsed Dr. Oz, and he's likely going to lose to Fetterman in the Democrat county. And also, he's utterly unlikable because he keeps doing gaffes on camera and he looks like the villain from Elmo's Adventures in Grouchland. So I don't know why you would pick him, especially when he's helped Chinese in the past, he's endorsed transgendering children, he's been pro-abortion. Do you actively want to lose?
Like, TV doctors, I think, have too much respect in America.
Yeah. Dr. Phil's an idiot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's also not a real doctor.
Yeah.
So yes, it's also worth mentioning, Fetterman holds campaign events with Soros-backed DA, because of course these George Soros-backed DAs are the ones that are trying to release all criminals. So it seems like it's a deliberate strategy, and part of a larger democratic effort to undermine the justice system entirely and release a bunch of violent criminals onto your streets, seemingly for no reason. So it's also worth mentioning that He may be painted by the Democrats as this soft-hearted fellow. Well, not really. Apparently, here's a PolitiFact fact check saying that as mayor, John Fetterman chased down an innocent unarmed black man wielding a shotgun and falsely accused the man, triggering a confrontation with police. Mostly true.
Wasn't this what three guys, including one guy who wasn't even involved, he just filmed it, went to prison for the Ahmaud Arbery case?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and it involved in Arbery grabbing the shotgun. He pulled the trigger and shot him, even though Arbery was jogging through a neighborhood in work boots and had been a burglary suspect before. But anyway, so they're not going to criticize him for this at all and instead actually pop him up as a candidate when he is mentally disabled and racist?
Well, they're just saying, well, he heard shooting. He thought there was a shooting. It was just a mistake. You can't hold it against this guy. So I'm going to read a little bit about the details of the case so you can make up your own mind. Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman was mayor of Pittsburgh, a suburb at the time. Fetterman said he thought he heard a dozen gunshots near his home and called 911, according to news reports at the time. Then he chased the person he believed to be the gunman. The man was Chris Mayarez, then 28-year-old, and the date was the 26th of January 2013. Police said Mayarez was wearing headphones and exercise clothes. Pretty obvious that he was running. Mm. And they found he did not have a gun, funnily enough. Mayarez telling a reporter that Fetterman followed me into North Braddock and pulled a shotgun and aimed it at my chest.
That's unhinged.
Mm. In another clip from the same news report, Mayarez says, I mean, there's a mayor with a shotgun and six other cops surrounding me. What else could I do but this? And he raises both arms in the air. And there's footage of Fetterman being interviewed. He says, I believe I did the right thing, but I may have broken the law during the course of it. And he followed this up with, I'm certainly not above the law.
Wow. So but an actual...
He didn't get charged.
Almost case of the Michael Brown hoax of hands up, don't shoot happened. And yet he's gotten entirely away with it.
Mm-hmm. And he's running for the Senate.
That's nuts. That's unbelievable.
But if he's not bad enough... let's have a look at this. John Fetterman wants abortion for all 9 months. So this is an interview with CNN, so they're not trying to catch him out necessarily.
Yeah.
And they asked him, do you support any restrictions on abortion? And he said, I don't, Fetterman replied, shaking his head when asked if this included the third trimester. Mm. And he says, I believe that the choice is between a woman and her doctor and a God if she prays to one.
Yeah, you'd better do a hell of a lot of praying if you're sacrificing your children to bloody Satan. Like, at any stage, abortion is evil. It's just, I think, even for people who are like squishy on the issue and haven't had their minds changed yet, the idea that a fully formed baby could be crowning and you crack its head in with a hammer, like, as if there's no moral prohibition against that. It's just...
I don't use this term often, but it is pretty evil.
It's satanic. It's actually satanic.
So, he's also pretty inconsistent, Fetterman said. He's always supported fracking when he previously said, I don't and never have.
We can put that down to the stroke, let's be fair. I mean, Biden did the same thing.
You're saying that Joe Biden's had a stroke? Is that
you
that
do
the
know
source
he had, like, actual brain surgery, yeah?
Well, Joe Biden did.
Do you not know that? No. Loads of people don't know this. Yeah, he had brain surgery. He's got like a metal plate in his head. He had it a couple of years ago.
And that's where all the signals are coming in to tell him what to do.
Yeah. What do you think, Alex Jones? Where's tinfoil?
So yes, something that's somewhat ridiculous after all of this stuff is that here's Teen Vogue saying, John Fetterman's stroke has led to ableist criticism from media and politicians.
It's Who's not going that... to Teen Vogue for their political analysis?
It's good for a laugh, to be fair.
Oh, God. So, okay.
Yeah, obviously the criticisms are more to do with his policies and maybe some of them are to do with his capability to do his job. He does require technology to be able to do it. So
it'd be wonderful if he was basically alive, though, to be fair, when he was more cognizant, he didn't exactly do the best things on the earth. So
I wouldn't go so far as Tucker Carlson and start questioning, where does John Fetterman's consciousness begin and the machine end? He's not some sort of cyborg quite yet. But yes, it carries on to say, for those of us in the disability community in politics, which is a sentence so grammatically confusing, you've got to question the entire basis of their article.
Well, this article ableist was clearly written about, by the dyslexic side of the disability community.
Ableist norms about what a leader should look, speak and act like are frustrating but unsurprising this week. They've been impossible to avoid. NBC News aired an interview with John Fetterman, Democratic candidate for the US Senate from Pennsylvania, in which he required closed captions to read questions in real time. Fetterman suffered a stroke in May, impacting his ability to understand what he hears and to articulate words clearly. These are two essential skills of a politician. They don't say that in there, though. The release of the interview unleashed a barrage of ableist critiques. Some mainstream journalists sidestepped the content of the conversation to focus on Fetterman's condition and the accommodations made for the interview. On Twitter, one NBC reporter asked, will Pennsylvanians be comfortable with someone representing them who had to conduct a TV interview this way? Which is a perfectly valid question.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone who was in a coma ran for office, would you say, these are just ableist criticisms?
Actually, that would be kind of preferable given the caliber of politicians. It's like when Spain shut down the government and the economy grew.
So, yes, I'm going to shamelessly point to something that I said recently.
Nice.
So there's an article in the New York Times saying, John Fetterman is a disabled American who needs technology to do his job, so what? And it's pointed out that they went from saying, well, there's nothing wrong with John Fetterman, to just saying, so what? And I said, yeah, I don't see why people are up in arms about this. There are already plenty of Democrats with debilitating brain damage already in office. It's nothing new.
It's went from it's not happening to that's a good thing.
I mean, when the president is who he is, you can't be surprised that people like this are being pushed. I'm sorry.
It's funny as well how they've demolished meritocracy with racial, gender and sexuality quotas. And then now, as Callum covered in his segment the other day about Sky News, they keep talking about neurodivergent and differently abled people. And mm-hmm. So it's literally like, oh, you want dumb and incapable people in positions of power. That won't go wrong at all.
It's not the most charitable way of putting it, but sure.
Well, this guy and Biden.
Mm-hmm. So it's also worth mentioning that Fetterman's supporters aren't great people either. So here we have an article titled "Razor Blade Covered Pro-Democrat Campaign Signs Park Police Response in Pennsylvania." So what it was people were putting Fetterman signs in other people's gardens and they were putting razor blades in them. So if you went to take them out, you would slice your hands.
God, it's like the old apocryphal story of razor blades and apples at Halloween, isn't it?
It is. We are coming up to that time, aren't we?
Yeah.
Well, it's just a horrifying breakdown of decency, isn't it?
Well, I'm glad the Democrat Party already mm-hmm. dressed for the occasion, because they would have looked like a freak show.
Yeah, Halloween's the only time they fit in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move on to some of the polling now. And obviously you take a lot of the polling with a massive pinch of salt. Mm. And also it's worth mentioning that usually right-wing candidates seem to poll better, they tend to do better than they poll, typically speaking. And that's worth bearing in mind when we look at these. So here's one from the New York Times. Republicans gains edge as voters worry about economy. And this is a Times and Siena poll. Apparently, the poll shows that 49% of likely voters said they plan to vote for a Republican to represent them in Congress on November 8th, compared with 45% who plan to vote for a Democrat. And there's also another poll here this is a Reuters Ipsos one, saying that Biden's approval rating is stuck at 40%, a dark sign for Democrats in the midterms. Mm. So it seems like at least the lunacy that the Democrats are clearly exuding. I mean, look at the caliber of some of their candidates and some of their supporters. And it's clearly going to swing voters in the opposite way. And of course, there's still plenty of Republicans who agree with just as repugnant a thing as they do. But nevertheless, it's a promising move in the right direction.
Well, if it isn't the consequences of our own actions.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as Carl's obsession in trying to find Bigfoot, this episode on the historical accounts. If you want to find out what else Carl's putting out, you can follow him on Getter @CarlBenjamin on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.